All right, if everybody could come in and have a seat, please. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jimmy. I'm a recovered drug addict. I am the institution outreach chair for this convention. My job basically is to go to treatment centers and inform them of what we're putting on here and have them bring their clients. It means a lot to me because after 5 years of being sober, I ended up in one of those treatment centers, and a lot of people in here were put on a state convention, and I was in the treatment center, and we did the countdown, and I'm the guy with 2 days. And all my friends that I got sober with were up on the panel. It was a very humbling experience, but I can say a year and a half later, like, I'm on fire. I get the honor of introducing Ben. Ben actually spoke in my home group on Thursday night, which was awesome. He cleans up pretty good compared to flip-flops and shorts. But guy's got an awesome message. God's calling. I just want to say thank you, Ben, for making the trip down and to share your experience starting to hope with us.
Be an addict. This is probably going to be the most dressed up I've ever been. I'm usually the way Zach was describing, dressed down. So y'all probably happy that I'm dressed up. But I'm going to take this off. Okay, from my accent, y'all probably can tell that I'm not from Florida. I am from Minnesota. No, I'm just kidding. From Kingsport, Tennessee, and just want to put a plug out. We are going to be hosting the DAA conference in Knoxville, Tennessee next year. So, yeah. We got a fire lineup. We already got the speakers. We've got shirts for sale, just to let y'all know. don't spend all your money yet. And we are pre-registering. I think it's for $15 early registration. And if you come, I think it's 20 after that, and then 25 if you show up. We're a little bit more expensive than y'all. But anyway, I want to give a clap for the members of the committee, because I'm telling y'all, I've been to conferences, and then we put on a conference. You really don't know what they're doing behind all the scenes until you put one on, and then you're like, oh my God, this is way more work than what you think. And they're doing it for a whole year. They're doing it, and in, you know, group consciences? They suck. Okay, think about doing that with a committee, about arguing about, do we need napkins or do we not? Do we need this or do we not? Oh my God, you just like, yeah, we're putting on a conference, yes. Okay, so anyway, I want to give a clap to them guys for sure. Whenever I'm getting old. That ain't funny. There's a place in the back of There Is a Solution. me find it. Shit. Okay, it says, when Tara spoke last night, man, she did a phenomenal job. I mean, she killed it. And she, it says right here, each individual in the personal stories describes in his own language and from his own point of view the way he established his relationship with God. Man, did she not do that? That, I mean, whenever I was listening to her, I was like, oh my God, she is telling how God works in her life. And how it was like when she didn't have God. And I loved it. Zach, oh my God, he did a workout up here. I was like, he's doing this shit. I was like, oh my God. Okay. All right, now I guess it's my turn, huh? I am a no matter what kind of guy. I drink and drug no matter what. You know what? Something else I was thinking about. I love AA. AA saved my life. All the, but it is going to be awesome that I don't have to say party favors. I ain't going to have to say outside issues. I ain't going to have to say something in an alcohol form. I get to say meth. I can say meth there too, but I just, yeah, people are like, oh shit, what's he going to do? Oh God, you know, and yeah, and I mean, this is pretty awesome, yeah. You know, you don't have to be, and then, you know, and I mean, this is another one, I'll just be honest, I mean, I love all fellowships, it don't matter, AA, DAA, NA, celebrate, I don't give a shit. If you're as miserable as I was, get it anywhere. I don't care. There ain't no, I'll get up here and I ain't gonna lie, I've judged other fellowships. I have. But when it comes down to it, I get, my wife, she's in NA and she has worked the steps out of the step working guide. And I'm telling you what, she has one of the best programs I've ever seen out of anybody. And I know it because I get to see her daily put in action. And she is married to me. She better have a hell of a program. And, you know, so I can say you can't get it there. You can't get it. Man, I've seen people get it everywhere. It don't matter if it's Adidas, Nike, Reebok, whatever fits your damn foot, put it on. It don't matter. I mean, no separation. But I ain't going to lie. It's going to be awesome that whenever I say sober, I don't get judged either. No, we say clean in here. Okay, never mind. I might not have. I went a little far, didn't I? No. Okay, where was I? You know, I'm a no matter what kind of guy. I drink and drug no matter what. It don't matter. It don't matter. Like he said, you know, it don't matter if my family's on the line. It don't matter if my job's on the line. It don't matter if they tell me I'm going to jail. It don't matter if they tell me whatever. It don't matter. I will promise. I'll pledge. I'll swear to God on everything. I'll be like, it's a good idea if I don't do this. I'll put a lie detector test and pass it. But I'm telling you, I do it anyway. I do it anyway. I mean, there was this guy. He got me to do this thing. And he told me, he said, write down every way that you have tried to successfully drink or use. And then, you know, I was like, okay, I'll do it, you know. And then, so how have I tried? Well, I won't drink beer, or I won't drink vodka because it makes me want to fight. So I'll drink beer, you know. What I'll do is I won't drink in the mornings. I only drink at night. I won't drink on weekdays. I won't, you know, I won't drink. I'll just do Valiums. Then next thing you know, I'm doing Valiums and drinking, and then I don't remember shit. Have you ever done that? Like, do a bunch of footballs, and then, you know, and then you go into a damn gas station and come out with 50 Snickers. You know, you're like, you got a pocket full of their money. And I don't know about y'all, but man, I get on them damn things and I will get naked in inappropriate places, like jail. When he was talking about getting down, I was like, oh my God, I could tell the story about sneaking 20 footballs in and taking them all at once, but I'm not going to do that. Y'all can go ahead and imagine. It went bad. Got locked down for a long time. Dude, what's wrong with you? I don't remember. You know, that's the thing. Have you ever woke up in jail and like, you ever get the feeling everybody's staring at you? You know, up here, you can really tell who the crackheads are. They're the ones, the meth heads are done is. I can relate because I've done all of it. So, okay, all right, let's get serious. All right, first time I went to rehab, for opiates. I got the shit, shake, sweats, did the kicking chicken, sweated the sheets yellow. I mean, it sucked ass. It sucks. I mean, you feel like you're going to die. I mean, you're just like, oh my God, I shouldn't have ever done this. This is dumb. You know, oh my God. You know, what was I thinking? This is a bad idea. I just need one. You know, and I mean, and it feels like you're going to die, but you're not going to die, but by God, it feels like it. And then I don't know about y'all, I get out of rehab and then I'm like, okay, what I'm going to do is I can't do opiates. I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, it sucks detoxing off of them. So I remember I was at work and there's this guy, and I don't know about y'all, but the opiates give me a little ump, you know, so I didn't have that. And then I went to work and there's this guy and he was zipping by. I like to zip by. You know, I mean, I'm a little fatigued, you know. And next thing you know, I mean, I holler at him and I'm zipping by. And then I'm telling you, then next thing you know, I'm getting promotions because they love it when you work 18 hours straight. And they're like, man, they don't even take lunch. But he goes to the bathroom a lot. And it, so I ended up being, getting gypped on a bunch of my sacks. So I ended up being an entrepreneur. I started making it. I don't know if they allow that in Florida, but in the state of Tennessee, they don't allow you to manufacture meth. You know, I mean, they don't care if you're driving around doing it in a rolling meth lab or not. And so I ended up getting busted on the meth lab. And it comes back to the first step, you know, is, you know, I remember whenever I got busted, I don't know if y'all have ever been scared, like not to the point, you know, I got a DUI, I know this is going to suck, it's going to be consequences and all that. But this one was, I got busted and I knew I screwed my life up. I knew that this one's bad. This sucks. You know, I mean, I thought about my family. I thought about my mama. And I was like, man, I'm done. And, you know, I remember I was in the jail cell and I even snuck an 8-ball of coke in and gave it away. That was pretty damn serious of a pledge. And then I was in there and I was like, I'm done. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drug. I don't care what happens to me in this charge. I'm done. I'm scared to death. I mean, it's over. I'm done. 2 weeks later, I got bonded out. From the jail cell to the car, I got another great idea. I mean, the other day, when I made that pledge, I mean, I'd been up 9 days. I wasn't in my right mind. I acted a little hasty, you know what I mean? I mean, I had detectives on me. I had, you know, I mean, it was, you know, I overpromised. I didn't, you know, I mean, and so what happened was I ended up like, okay, I don't need to make it, but I can still do it. Well, next thing you know, I'm in rehab for meth. I get out. I can't do opiates, can't do meth. So what do? I'll start shooting crack. I mean, these are my great ideas. I mean, this is the best I got. I mean, I substitute, and I try to do it any way and every way, and I try to come up with a new plan. I do it like this, I do it like that, I do it like this. I won't hang out with these people. I won't have it in my house. I won't buy it from them. I come up with everything to try to successfully do it, and I could never do it. And, you know, and whenever he gave me that thing and he told me, you know, and said, you know, hey, how many successful ways have you tried to do this? Well, I've tried every damn way. And then he says, how many ways have you tried not to do it? Well, I don't know about y'all, but I've been saved 53 times. Every time I go to jail, you know, I mean, I'm like, I'm the one up there y'all are making fun of because I'm like, yeah, praise the Lord, you know. And then, I mean, and I was really meaning it from the bottom of my heart. I mean, because I wanted to be different. I didn't want to be like this. I didn't like being the person that I was. But, man, I just didn't know what to do. And I was like, okay, if they want me to do this, if it'll help me, by God, I'll do it. Whatever it is. And then I go up there, and then like he said, I would go up there, and then I'd get this good spiritual feeling, and then I'd go back to my cell, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm feeling good. You know, and then next thing you know, I'm hustling. Got to get something. Got to sneak some cigarettes in. Got to them do this. Got to do that. Because I didn't know how to live a different lifestyle. Nobody taught me how a design for living that works yet. And I didn't know that I didn't have that. All I knew was I needed something. And I didn't know what. And this was good. It gave me a good feeling, man. I'd go back for it, too. All the time. And then, you know, I tried going to psychotherapy, went to psychiatrists. I got prayed on, pledged on, probationed on. You know, I mean, I've tried every way to be able, you know, in the big book, he puts the blood and puts it on the Bible with Louisville does. I was like, man, that's the only thing I didn't try. And that was just because I didn't have Lois. You know, I mean, because I would have done that. I would have, because I wanted to not do it. But every way that I tried to not do it didn't work. I could not entirely stop. And somebody told me entirely. It means like forever. You know, and I was like, well, I entirely did for 3 weeks. You know, I mean, but I mean, like, I could not stop. So if I can't do it, and if I can't not do it, the guy said, you know, I remember him saying, who came up with all these ideas? I said, by God, me. He said, you don't need no more damn good ideas. You know, and then I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, I can't do it and I can't not do it. And then I was like, well, what do I do? You better find something that's going to be able to do for you what you can't do for yourself. And then as smart as I thought I was, as good looking as I thought I was, is, you know, in every other area where I thought that I might be able to successfully be okay in, When it came to this, I could not win. I never could. And I really believe this. If you have a good, a real deep first step experience, 2 and 3 are a breeze. Because you don't give a shit who helps you or what helps you. You don't put restrictions on it. Well, when you're in jail, do you give a shit who bonds you out? You don't say, hey, let me check your resume, please. What you say is, when you're in jail and you're wanting out, you don't give a dang who it is, what happened. They could slap my mama, and I'm going to give them a break for a minute. you're making it better here. You're making it better, Because at that time, I don't care what helps me. I put no restrictions and all prejudice aside, all restrictions aside, all anything that's in my head is aside if they will help me right here, right now. Because right here, right now, I'm miserable and the door is open enough to let anything in. And then when I get to that spot, what makes that spot? Step one. If I don't get this, I'm not going to go to all lengths and be open to a new solution if I don't think I need it. If I'm not well, and it's not that I'm beat up, and I've been beat up a lot. It's just I'm finally aware of it. I'm finally aware that, I don't know about y'all, but I knew I was a damn addict way longer than whenever I decided I was going to do something about this. And somebody asked me the other day, when are you ready? I don't really can put any lie on when I'm ready or anything, except for this. When I'm ready, I'm willing to go to any length and anything you tell me to do. It is open. If it's to do this, my God, I don't really. Is there another option? No. Well, God dang, I guess I'll do it. Why? Because the option is worse. He was talking about going to the bitter ends, or blotting out our intolerable situation the best we can, or accepting spiritual help. What sucks is they look the same. For a long period of time. Because I'm like, intolerance, it sucks. Yeah. Spiritual help, is that playing volleyball for the rest of my life at church and doing bingo you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm picturing this. But now, I'm on the streets of Chattanooga, homeless, jobless, don't got nothing going on in my life at all, and I'm still worried about fun. My definition of fun needs to change. Because my definition of fun, it hurt people. It damaged people. And I'm worried about what's next. If I give this up, what's my identity? I remember going through and I got to step 3, I ain't gonna lie, hey, I was mad at God. But I didn't say that. What I said is, I can't do this. I can't do this. I don't believe in God. And then I remember he was like, oh man, you don't have to believe in God. He said, you just got to do it. And I said, well, okay. that's as simple. Because I did not do this believing that it would work. I did not have no knowledge that it would work. I heard that it worked with somebody else that I didn't believe. I thought they were fake. I saw it in others. I heard it. All this. But I did not know it would work for me. Because I ain't going to lie. I thought it was a goner. I thought I'd done too much bad stuff. I thought I hurt too many people. I thought, there's no way that somebody like me was ever going to get help like other people do. Not with what I'm, the shame that's in me, what I've done. And so, I remember going to my fourth step, and my first resentment on there was my dad. My second one was my mom for marrying my dad. And the third one was God. And my sponsor, you know, he goes, hold up. He said, you just got done saying you don't believe in God, now you're mad at him. He said, you think you might be confused? I said, you sponsor people, y'all kind of tricky. I got to watch you, man. But, and I don't know about y'all, but what happened to me was there was some issues from back here that I got so mad at God that I didn't want to, I just stopped believing that there was one. It's kind of like, you know, you get mad at somebody and you just want to act like they don't exist. That's what I did with God. Because I'd hear it and it just pained me. And you know, and really what it come down to is I did believe in God. It was just my belief was crazy. I thought he'd done shit to me. I thought he'd done this life to me. And then, so I did. So when I got to the step four, I did it in blind faith. Just hoping that something was going to save me, man. Something was going to, because I don't know about y'all, I woke up every day not wanting to kill myself, but not wanting to live one more day like this. Chasing that. Doing this. Having to hurt them. I'm going to go back to the, whenever I went to my last rehab, when I went to the rehab, I didn't go because I wanted to quit drinking and drugging. The reason I went was I wanted to quit hurting people. I couldn't quit hurting people. I was a parent abuser. I was a child abuser. I was a spouse abuser. I was a friend abuser. I was a employer abuser. I was whatever it. Everybody that touched my life, I used and abused them. And it hurt my soul. But I didn't know anything else to do. So whenever it got to the fourth step, I remember my sponsor got me to doing columns. He told me, you know, and did my first one was my dad, and then in the cause. You know, because the reason I was mad at him was because he abandoned me. He beat my mama. He beat my brothers. In that, they ended up beating me when he left. He didn't teach me how to be a man. And he always promised to take me fishing, and he never would. And he was an alcoholic drug addict. I'm mad. Grudgingly mad. You know what it says, resentmentless and grudge. You know, I ain't gonna lie, I didn't know what the hell a resentment was when I first came in here. But I knew what a damn grudge was. You know, so whenever it says resentmentless and grudgingly, I was like, and I get the guys I sponsor to put a grudge up there, because that just sounds cooler, but meaner too, you know. Yeah, grudge, okay. And then I got in that resentment. I mean, I was pretty tore up about it. So we went on to another, and then went to my mom, you know, and it was because my mom embarrassed me. She wasn't the mom that I wanted. She We was poor. And I blamed it on my mama. We lived in poverty. Extreme poverty. I mean, like, the place where you don't want your friends coming over to your house, you know? And with an attention-seeking person like me, that sucked. You know? And so, I mean, this is kind of, it was so bad that if you turned the lights out, when you turned them back on, all you saw bugs. I mean, that's how nasty in that I live. And then, you know, and then God, I was resentful at a guy that sexually abused me. And I remember doing it, man. And when I say this, I mean, he was older than me, but I remember, you know, because it really bothered me. I didn't think that it ever bothered me because I didn't think if anybody didn't know that it wouldn't bother me. But inside, what happened was, because it was a male, my sexual identity was, I was always questioned it. Am I gay? You know, I mean, you know, and then I got homophobic because of it. Because I always made jokes at that stuff. And then, and then I was sexually abused by a female also. And so then I was scared of women, but wanted their attention. So, I mean, all my, you know, and so, you know, it goes through, I go through this and, you know, and we see this and then we go over to my mistakes. And of course, I didn't have no mistakes, but I remember my sponsor, he says, maybe the only mistake you ever had in this is you never let it go. You never faced it. And you're this old and you're still living with it. And, you know, I never thought of that. And I look back and I see that, I know my identity today. I'm not gay. It's okay to be gay. I don't care what anybody else is. I mean, rock on. But I'm not. I got, you know, and I didn't know that. And that really sucked. I mean, not knowing who I was. And, you know, and I remember going, you know, I remember doing my dad. We went back to my dad, and then he says, Ben, he says, didn't you say that your dad, your grandfather got drunk and shot your grandma and killed her? And I said, yeah. He said, so your dad didn't have a mom or a dad? I said, right. He said, where did he live? I said, well, he went from family member to family member, and then he learned how to hustle, and then he started playing pool and cards, and then the next thing you know, he's just a hustler. He knows how to hustle. He become a bootlegger. He become a he ended up owning a little small bar, knife and gun club. You know, I mean, this is what he knows. And then he says, didn't you say that he beat your mama? I said, yeah. And he beat your brothers? I said, yeah. He said, and he was an alcoholic drug addict. And I said, yeah. He said, man, have you ever thought that maybe God saved you from him? He said, if he'd have been in your life, you was the next one to get beat. How was he going to be able to teach you something that he wasn't taught to him? Only thing, look what he was going to teach you. He was going to teach you how to hustle more than you already know how to hustle. He says, you know, and you're an alcoholic drug addict. He says, how good of a parent have you been? I said, I suck. I'm no good. He said, did you mean to be no good? I said, no, I didn't mean to be. He said, did you hurt them on purpose? I said, Absolutely not. I didn't constantly wake up one day saying, I think today's a good day to hurt my kids. He said, maybe, just maybe. He didn't mean to hurt you. And I was like, well, I'll give him a little break. You know? And then, you know, and this is the thing, is if I didn't do the process, if I didn't do this with another, with a sponsor, if I didn't do this with another man armed with facts of his life, he would not have been able to help me see it from a different point of view. I need somebody to help me because I am emotionally attached to this and I hate him. And then he helps me see that the reason I hate him is because I am him. I abandoned my kids. I got physical with women. I'm absolutely ashamed of even sharing that. But that's who I was. I am an alcoholic drug addict. I didn't teach my kids how to be a man. I didn't teach them. I didn't take them fishing. Man, I tell you what, it is real. I would drug at you. I would drug because my daddy did this to me. I'll take drugs because, you know, I want to fit in. I'll drug, you know, because I was in poverty. I was like this. I was like that. But I go for oblivion when I've become the person I hate. Because it's so unbearable. It sucks being me. Because I know who I am. Because see, the thing is everybody else knows some of the shit I've done. I know it all. Unless I was on Xanaxes, I didn't go in blackouts. I like stimulants. So I knew everything everybody was doing. Shit, I tell you what, I remember whenever when I first came in, you know, I was like, you know, inventory, I don't want to do no inventory. And then I remember my sponsor, he said, man, Ben, he says, you know how to do inventory. He says, you just don't know how to do yours. He said, you're damn good at everybody else's. I was like, you know, and now I realize that all my inventory on me is how bad I judge you. So I'm inventorying my inventory. y'all don't do that. I'm sorry. We do in Tennessee. So. I gotta see what time it is. Okay. All right. Okay, so y'all know in the fifth step, it talks about. You would think I'd have this ready. But, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking about this earlier about somebody was talking about insurance, all that stuff. You know, Johnny was talking about he has all that stuff. And I was thinking, I do too. It's because my wife makes me. I was thinking about, you know, I obey most laws most of the time. I mean, except for I get down speeding tickets and I just don't want to pay them sometimes on time. You know, and then I was thinking, you know, with my wife, it's awesome to have a wife that's not like you. Because if a bill is due in 2 weeks, she starts freaking out, like, I gotta pay this. And you know, and I'm like, I'm totally opposite. I'm like, if they're not sending letters saying that they're taking it, it ain't through. I go into action whenever action is needed. You know, I mean, I'm not going to waste my action. You know? Oh, my God. I was like, hey, I'm still very much in spiritual kindergarten in this. Okay. It says right here. Oh, my God. Okay, right here. It says that they took inventory, all right. Okay, having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they failed. We think the reason is they never completed house cleaning. It says they took inventory, all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought that they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought that they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough humility, fearlessness, and honesty in the sense we find it necessary until they told someone else all their life story. Okay, so for a long period of time in recovery, I'd done my fourth and fifth step, and I went through and stuff, and I didn't tell it all. I hung on to some of the worst. I hung on to the worst. And I had a daughter, and my daughter, when she was born, she was sick. And I was up in Virginia, and my daughter's mom was in Athens, Tennessee. And I was out there, and they told me that my daughter was in ICU in Knoxville. So I raced home. When I raced home, I detoxed in the ICU room. And when I was in there detoxing, I told everybody I had the flu, but I was detoxing. And I wanted everybody to think that I was this good dad that supported his daughter. I was this good dad. I wanted everybody to think it was, but I wasn't. And my daughter ended up passing away. When my daughter passed away, I could not care. I could not feel. I didn't have the ability to care from the person that I was supposed to love the most, that she just passed away. All I could think of is, this is going to be a good excuse to go to the emergency room and tell them that I'm having a nervous breakdown and get some Valiums. And that's exactly what I did. And then I went from that, and I went to get some more dope. And I went to the dope dealer's house, and I remember going up there, and the dope dealer, he heard about it, and he says, "Man, Ben," he said, "I heard about your daughter, man." He says, "That's sad, man." He said, "I'm so sorry." He says, "If there's anything that I can do for you," he says, "let me know, man." And I said, "All right, man, hook me up, bro. I'll use my daughter's death to get more dope." And then I got drunk and on Xanaxes and went to the funeral and acted an ass, and they called a law on me. I couldn't even go to my daughter's funeral. And wondered why I couldn't ever get clean. Wonder why? Because I mean, you know, this is I want God in my life. You know, in the jail cell, when I was wanting God, and I didn't know that I was blocked. I didn't know that I had so much shame I didn't know I had so much fear. I didn't know I had so much anger and resentment. I didn't know I was so damaged that I would... I mean, it was just so full. And I didn't know that that was keeping me from God. And I done this four-step and I saw how blocked I am from God. But I'm going to tell you, I done this and it was enough at the moment without telling this other stuff. I got a little connection to God. Even without telling this worst idol. And it kept me sober for years. And you know, and you can do enough until it's not enough. And then you know when it's not enough is whenever you get to that place where my man was talking about 7 to 10 years. I got about 9 years and I was miserable. I was just acting out. I was in sick life. I was living dirty in recovery. I was the person that was living double life in recovery, man. And I remember, and this right here is, you know, I called this one guy, and I was miserable, and I didn't want to call my sponsor because my sponsor was 80 something years old, you know, and I just told him if I told him I was watching porn, you know, he's been sober since Jesus, so, you know what I mean? He don't even know what porn is, you know what I mean? And so I wouldn't tell him. And see, I got so close to my sponsor that I felt if I told him the way I was acting and the way I was living and the way I was thinking, that he would be disappointed in me. And he would leave me just like my father did. And you know, and this is the thing that I've learned is I'm always afraid that everybody's going to leave me if they know me. Because everybody leaves me. In my mind, everybody leaves me. And I'm always afraid to tell anything and get vulnerable and be authentic with you because I'm afraid you're going to leave me just like everybody else has left me. And so I didn't tell him. So I called this other guy and I told him, I said, because I knew he was sick, you know. But I loved him, you know. I mean, he's a little bit older than me in recovery and stuff, you know, and older in age and, you know, and but I know a lot of his stuff. So I was like, I'll call him. So I called him and I told him, I said, rah, 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 rah. You know, and then I remember on the phone, he said, Ben, you don't need to be doing that. I was like, no shit. And I was like, and then he was like, well, you're, rah, 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 you know, and then I was like, right then, I was like, this dude's recovery sucks. By God, I was like, I'm done with him. You know, I hung up, you know. You know, and what happened was, okay, so after I'd done this work, I went and got another sponsor. And I'd done this work. And it was like 2 years after that, this guy called me. This guy called me and he says, Ben, he says, I'm having this trouble. And it was the exact same trouble that I was having when I called him. And the thing is because just because we have the common problem don't mean we have the common solution because he didn't have the solution. And I was calling him wanting a solution for something that he was having a problem with himself. But because I got vulnerable with him, what he could do is he could call me because he knew that there would be something changed in me. I went and sought out help for this and got vulnerable with somebody and told him about it. And then he called me saying, hey, can you help me? And I said, this is what I've done. I'm going all over here. I love this. Y'all might not, but I do. You know, okay, so ended up with the thing that I didn't tell was I always told everybody that my daughter died because my daughter had the flu. And the real reason that my daughter died was because I have an STD and I gave it to my daughter. And then they came to me and they told me, they asked us, does anybody, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with my daughter. It's like, we can't help, we don't know what it is and stuff. And then they asked, they said, did anybody have an STD? You know, and I did, and I knew it, and I lied, and I said no. And because of it, my daughter didn't have a chance. And I never told nobody. And the worst part was this. I was in recovery, and I was still having sex with women, and I wasn't telling them. And it was, it ate at my soul. And I was trying to do more. And then what I would do is I'd try to do more service. I'd try to sponsor more people. I would try to do this, do that. I'd try to do all these activities to do this without giving this up. Because I didn't want to tell nobody this. I was scared. And I mean, I've done the inventory. I know why I've done it. I mean, this is going to really mess with my sex. I mean, I'm going to be alone. People are going to say, ooh. They're not going to want to hug me. They ain't going to want to be around me. People are going to judge me. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of issues that come with that. And I was scared. And I went to my new sponsor, and then I finally, because I had a well-whooped ass in recovery, and I was, because I was about to go smoke crack, I went and told somebody, and I begged for help. Again, in recovery. Because I was miserable. And at this time, I remember whenever I went through this, I was engaged, and I hadn't told my wife or my fiance at the time. I hadn't told her, and you know, I had never told her that I have an STD. And my new sponsor, I remember we was doing this, and I told him, and you know, I said, do I have to tell Leah? And he was like, yeah, yes, you got to tell Leah. And then I hate to say this, but I said, can I wait until we're married? You know, I mean, I was thinking, well, it'd be harder for once we're married, you know? And, you know, and I was like, oh my God. You know, I was like, all right, I just done this work, and I remember I went to this movie, and whenever I went to the movie, we went to the movies, and it was Will Smith and his kid died in it, and you know, and we're in there, and you know, and we're crying, you know, but I'm over here like, you know, like people are like, shut up, you know, calm down or something. It ain't that bad, you know. And I'm like, okay, you know. And then we leave, and then we're driving down the road, and you know, and I'm all emotional and all this, and then I'm just, and I oh shit. And then I remember looking, and I was like, Leah, I got something to tell you, and you ain't gonna like it. And I looked, you know, and I started telling her, I was like, I got an STD. And I told her, you know, and then I said, and I got it, and I had it before I was with you, and I knew it. And, you know, and I went into my amends, you know, and I told her, you know, I said, you know, I was deceitful, dishonest, you know, and I was just babbling on, you know. And and I knew that she's going to leave me. Biggest fear of my life was that I was like, I'm finally going to give my heart to somebody, and then this shit's going to make me alone, you know. And I trusted the process. And then I told her, and I kept on telling, you know, and then finally, in the middle of it, she was just like, "Ben, stop." And I was like, "Okay." And then she says, "I got it too. And I had it before I got with you." You know the first thought that came to my mind? "You deceitful bitch." Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. And then I was like, "What else is she lying about?" Okay. And I called my sponsor, and whenever I called him, I told him this, and I said. And it was like I was telling him this, and I was like, look at this. And then he was like, "That's what happens when we trust God." So my biggest fear in this, okay, so she had been in recovery for years. She had never told her sponsor. She had done the same exact thing that I had. And then after this, she got free. She went and then she come to me and she says, "Ben, we're doing a spiritual retreat." And she says, and they do this thing called the step aside or something about it. Everybody gets on one side of the room and they ask a question. Like, "Have you ever been sexually abused?" And everybody steps to the other side. And, you know, and she wanted to use this question on that. The ripple effect of me doing the fourth and fifth step and getting through this and trusting the process of this is what happens is the ripple effects. I damage all these people in the world whenever I'm out there roaring. When I'm in the process of this, the transformation that comes is I help amend stuff with the amends. By doing this process, you know, I tell me this ain't awesome. In this process, I went from hating my daddy, or I went from not being able to love the person I'm supposed to love in the most in this world, to loving the person I hate the most in this world. Tell me that's not a transformation. Tell me that's not a spiritual awakening. Man, if I give in to these fears, I don't know God's vision for me. And then, you know, and if I don't know God's vision, I don't know what He's got in store for me. And I know His vision is way better than my vision. And I need to, in getting connected with God, I'm unblocked. Now I can be useful. And I'm not, you know, I was hostage to this in recovery. And today I'm not. Because of the process. Because of trusting the process. Because of y'all. Y'all. Man, I absolutely love recovery. I love what God, y'all have led me to God. And what God has done in my life, I've never imagined. I am a dope head from the streets. And today, man, I'm okay being me right here, right now. With all my flaws. Because I know that I want to be a better person and God's going to lead me to that. And I got to trust God, clean house, and help others. And I don't help others because I have to do it. I do it because of a spiritual awakening and you can't stop me from doing it. Because I found the treasure that I did not think was true. And I got to make sure that every damn body knows that there is a damn treasure. And I don't care if they want to hear it or not. because I didn't want to hear it. But by God, one day you're going. I went from I hated hearing the God meetings, you know, to now I am the one that loves the God meetings. Because I've seen the miracles that work in this program. And if they work for me, He does not do favors. He will do it for anybody. And so I want to make sure that everybody knows that there is hope. There is a chance. There is love in this program. Man, I am so honored to be in them Florida today. And I am speaking while Tennessee and Florida are both sucking. And I'm grateful for that. And all I've got to say now is just thank you for my life. Thanks.